choosing to be here tonight. Tonight we're going to do a study over the depth of your faith. And the idea for this lesson came from the parable we find, and it's in a few of the Gospels, but we're going to focus on the reading as it is in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, and who is sowing seed, and the seed falls on various places, and we're going to focus on one of those verses specifically this evening, and that is the seed that fell on stony ground and lacked any depth of earth. And I want to correlate that to the depth of our faith and the conviction of our faith. So I want to ask you this evening, what is the depth of your faith? How deep does it go? Is it, will it, or has it ever been easily uprooted or pulled up or knocked over? And unfortunately, there's been times in my life where that has been the case. But that's our study that we're going to go over this evening. So to begin our reading in Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So they got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So while there could easily be three or four lessons out of just that parable alone, I want to focus mainly on the seed we read about in verses 5 and 6. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. So I want to make the analogy and the connection between the seed that fell on stony ground and essentially that being ourselves, Christians or followers of Christ, and the root of that seed to be what our convictions truly are and what really has us rooted and grounded in our beliefs and in our faiths, in our beliefs and our faith. So that seed, when it fell on the stony ground, just on the surface, you know, that seed thought that it was in the right environment. It thought it had what it needed. So on the surface, everything looked great. Everything felt correct. Everything looked good. I think of social media profile pictures. You know, on the surface, everything looks great. You know, I don't have social media, but when I did, profile pictures were people smiling, you know, happy, enjoying themselves. Maybe they had their family with them, whatever it was. But that picture was just surface level. It was just what meets the eye. And same thing maybe when you exchange pleasantries, talking with someone, you know, "Hi, how are you? I'm good, how are you?" "Well, I'm good." And that's typically where that conversation ends. But that's just surface level. There's not really any depth or any context to any of that. So years ago, we decided as a family, thought it would be a good idea to have family pictures taken. And the boys were 2 and 4. And if anyone's ever tried to take family pictures with little ones, like, it can be quite a trying time and a trying experience. Well, there's a picture that hangs on the wall in our home, and there's me and my lovely, gorgeous wife, Casey, and everybody smiles and everybody's happy. And, you know, that's the picture. That's the surface level of the picture. But in reality, the context and the depth of that picture, that smiles weren't always the case. There was maybe some tears, maybe some gnashing of teeth, maybe some swats handed out, but that was a true depth of that picture. But without knowing that, you know, if I wouldn't have told you that, well, the surface level, everything looks great. So I feel like that's kind of what how the seed is beginning its life when it falls on stony ground. It's just on the surface, it seems good, but there's no depth of earth. There's no substance there. So, you know, what lies beneath? What are there deep roots to your faith keeping you grounded? Or is there little to nothing there to where you're easily washed away by sin and temptation, by a rough crowd, by things you want to do, used to do, whatever it may be? No depth of earth. There's no supporting structure. There's no nutrients or water to feed that plant and to permit and foster deep growth. That stony ground, you know, it was rough. I imagine it was real rough and jagged and full of voids, full of holes, if you will, that there's something missing there. There's nothing there for that seed to grab hold to and to grow through. And in verse 6, when the sun was up, that seed was scorched because there was no depth of earth. There was nothing supporting that seed. And that sun and scorched and heat is the difficulties and trials and tribulations we're going to experience in our Christian walk. And if we're not ready for that, it could be difficult for us. I want to focus now on the early growth of that seed experience. So here in John chapter 6, before we read here in verse 60, prior up in verse 53, this is Jesus talking to his disciples about his body being the bread of life and his blood and the life that's in his blood. In verse 53, I don't have it on the screen, but then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." So this is what Jesus is telling his disciples right before verse 60. So now we'll pick that up in verse 60. "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father.'" And in verse 66, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." So Jesus talking about, he actually says, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." Now, we know he's later talking about communion and what that signifies. But these disciples, they took it as literally what he was saying, and they were troubled by it, you know. And if that's where that conversation stopped, that would be difficult for them to understand. But the correlation I want to make here is that these disciples, in their early walks with Christ, it was exciting and it was fun and it was easy. I'm sure they watched Jesus perform these miracles and heal people and do all these wonderful, fun, exciting things. And then when it came a little tougher and they heard something a little more difficult to understand, since they had no depth of earth with their roots of their belief, they turned and walked, and they walked with Christ no more. They turned away from him. So we have to be cognizant of our early excitement, and that's can only be a great thing. And if in early in our walk and early in our faith we are excited and we do feel good and energized about following Christ. But we can't let it stop there. We have to let that, it's my hope that excitement continues in our walk. And we don't let that early excitement and those early emotions and feelings that we have be where our convictions stop. Because oftentimes, unstable feelings and emotions don't make for very good, deeply rooted beliefs with us. So once reality sets in and the world shows up and things really get tough, if our entire belief system is just based on feelings and emotions and maybe that early growth, that early excitement we might have felt, there's a chance that our faith won't have what it takes to survive. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any being excited or having any emotional feelings in that regard. But it's my hope that our beliefs run much deeper than that. And the best way to describe this parable and the seed is a shallow faith. and a faith that lacks any depth. In Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. You know, today's Sunday. It's easy to have a strong faith on Sunday. We're here at the church. We're here with the brethren. We've had a great song service. But what about our faith on Monday when we go back to work and we've got to be around other people who don't share the same beliefs that we do? All, as my dad used to say, all show and no go. I hope that our faith is not that way. But unfortunately, we're around people, and I know a lot of people that act just this way, that, you know, they profess to know God, but they leave their church services and go back home to their live-in boyfriend or girlfriend where they're engaged in some pretty unholy behavior. They profess to know God, but they go get drunk with their frat buddies and their sorority sisters at a tech tailgate. They claim to know God, but she gets up and preaches on a Sunday morning worship assembly. They claim to know God and invite you and your kids to vacation Bible school, but on their social media they have posts where they were promoting pro-choice and abortion. That's a very shallow faith. There's not any depth. I have a feeling there's a lack of depth there. And these are people that I have interacted with before. And we can't allow ourselves to have a shallow faith. There's dangers of having a shallow faith. Unfortunately, as a young man, my faith was pretty shallow. When I grew up and moved out and left home, it ended up my faith was pretty shallow. And I didn't realize that until I went to college. And college really exposed that. Not having that support network around me and my folks around me, ensuring that I was at the building, it turns out my faith was pretty shallow, and that caused some issues and caused some problems, and it was a bad deal, because when I left, I thought that I was in good shape. I thought that I was a very convicted and faithful person because I was at the building all the time. But it turns out just being at the building all the time didn't really do it for me. It turns out that it takes a lot more work and a lot more conviction, if you will, to have the faith we need to have when those sinful temptations come up. So I encourage you to not just be strong in the faith on Sunday, but every day of the week, and not just if your parents make you go to assembly or whatever it may be, But as we've read, with the seed, without that depth, there will be issues. So this is a picture, I hope you can see it okay, that over on this side of the screen, now this is an excavation, this is a cross-section of some soil, and over on this side of the screen is some native grass to wherever this area is, and as you can see, this average size guy standing holding up this plant, and the root system of this plant is 5 or 6 feet long. But the plant itself, the grass itself, maybe is only a couple of feet tall. That is above the surface. Now, on the other side of the screen, it looks to be a wheat crop. And that wheat crop has pretty shallow roots. And I wanted to show this, to show that correlation of this native grass and this very steadfast, very hardy plant variety, and what it takes to support it to live through the scorching sun that it's going to experience. And the fact is, there's more to that plant beneath the surface than is above. While the wheat crop on this other side, now there's nothing wrong necessarily with the wheat crop, but the way that plant works is you put seed in the ground, it sprouts, and it produces more seed, it's harvested, and then it's over. It's seasonal. It's not coming back. It's not going to rejuvenate itself. It's over. It's a one and done deal. So again, my hope and prayer for us is that our faith and our convictions are more like the grass variety, the native grass variety that has a very deep rooted system. So when there's a drought or a fire or scorching sun or disease or being grazed on, whatever it may be, that our faith survives and our faith makes it through, and that I hope that our faith is not like the wheat crop that's a one-and-done deal, or that it's seasonal, that it's only We're only faithful and convicted when it's convenient and when it's easy. And that only comes by having a deep-rooted faith. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." This just wraps up and summarizes and ties in everything I've been talking about to this point. We must have a deep-rooted faith. And just like another parable we find here in Luke, a house being us, built on the surface and just sitting on top, is not going to be able to withstand much trial and much tribulation. And make no mistake, we will experience that as Christians. We don't get a free, easy pass that once we decide to follow Christ, that life's just going to be real easy for us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Attempts will be made to scorch your faith and to burn it down and to test it at every turn." We read here about a fiery trial, and there's a pattern here. And here in 1 Peter about a fiery trial, we read about the sun scorching. It seems to be a pattern of heat or the sun or fire or whatever it may be that is a great correlation to what we're going to have to live with and experience in the world and the temptations that will be around us. So make no mistake, attempts will be made at that. Whether that's, like I said, temptation or loss or whatever hardship we may have, we will have some of that to experience. So what does shallow faith look like? What can we expect to see with that? And the best way to summarize that is hypocrisy. That is those examples I gave before, you know, living a certain life on Sunday or around a church group and then living a different life around a different crowd. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So here in Matthew, talking about, you know, praying out on the street to be seen praying and to be seen being Christ-like. And that's only to try and please men and try and please the world. So is the extent of your faith, you know, is it displayed by the cross jewelry that you wear or the bumper sticker on your car or the decorations in your house or whatever it may be? Because if that's the extent of your faith and that's as deep as people can see Christ in you, then I'm afraid your faith may be shallower than you think it is. And I hope it goes much deeper than that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but if that's where it stops and that's where it ends, then you may be in danger of your faith being shallow. And this goes along again with the recurring theme of the hypocrisy, living a life that's contrary to the faith and contrary to knowing God that I hope we claim to have. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." If we're only seeking to please the world, we cannot be a servant of Christ. So this is a picture of a bridge. It is a bridge I managed the construction of. Now, I know what you're thinking. Don't worry. It's not here in town. You don't have any danger of driving over it here. You're safe. Nothing to worry about there. But this is a bridge that I managed the construction of. And it's a normal bridge. There's really nothing too special about it. This is just a picture from Google Earth. And this should be a picture maybe you've seen. Probably haven't noticed it very. You probably haven't paid a lot of attention to it, but that bridge column, it's 15 feet tall. OK, Okay, it's about 15 feet tall. It's about 3 foot wide. It's about 3 foot deep. It's steel and concrete. There's really nothing spectacular about that. It's just a bridge column. But have you ever thought or have you ever wondered how much of that structure extends below the surface of the earth? You know, it's got to be at least a little bit, right? You know, in construction, there's some similarities between the parable we read about building a house on a strong foundation. Bridge is the same way. It's no different. But have you ever wondered, you know, how much of that bridge structure is beneath the surface of the earth? Is it 10 feet, 5 feet, 15 feet? You know, maybe it's the same as it is there. Well, this is the actual plan set from that bridge construction. And the drill shaft, the part of the bridge foundation that's beneath the surface, is 80 feet long. It's 80 feet down into the earth. Well, the only part that you see is just that little 15-foot piece above, you know, above the ground. Now, of course, only a handful of people know that it actually extends that deep. So in total, structure length is 95 feet from the bottom of the drill shaft to the bottom of the bridge. So 84% of the structure that supports this bridge is unseen. It goes unnoticed. Only a handful of people even know that it's there. Just like our faith will be tested, this bridge will be tested. It's going to be experience weight and stress and wind and freezing weather and high temperatures and low temperatures, whatever it may be. Just like our faith will be tested. And if there's not an adequate foundation underneath this bridge, it will fail and people will die. If our faith does not have an adequate foundation, we will fail and we will die to sin. So that's really pretty well the same correlation between, you know, the root system that we saw. And of course, you know, it should be pretty obvious that our convictions need to be deeply rooted, deep foundation, all that part. But what we really haven't talked about at this point is the earth that surrounds those roots, or the soil that surrounds this drill shaft, this concrete that supports the structure. And that earth or soil or whatever that substance is all part of the performance of that foundation. And without a good soil or a good surrounding of that foundation, it won't work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Good habits. So, you know, if that bridge drill shaft, if it instead of being in 80 foot of earth or soil, if it was in 80 foot of garbage, it wouldn't work. The design wouldn't work. It would collapse and it would fall. So just as important as the depth of that foundation is, it's equally important as the earth and the soil that surrounds it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So in correlating back to our convictions and our faith, being observed as a foundation, what do you surround yourself with? What are your convictions surrounded with? Are they surrounded with garbage? Are they surrounded with good soil? Are they surrounded with bad influences or friends or family who don't support you in your faith? If they are, I encourage you to change your environment. I encourage you to make a different move and surround yourself with people who will support you and who will help you through this walk. There's a time in my life when I was a fool who surrounded myself with fools. And it led to nothing but problems and issues. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Please, I beg of you to find good people to surround yourself with. And I want to take a moment here to just say that I deeply appreciate everyone in this congregation and in the Plainview congregation at Northwest over the past few years who have surrounded myself with, who have supported me and been that good earth and that good soil around my convictions and my faith, that my convictions and faith have grown so much more being a part of this congregation and the group there in Plainview that it's been life-changing. So I just want to take a moment to tell everyone here thank you for being who you are and being the group that we experience here. And I deeply desire that everyone is able to experience this in some capacity, because it's just been paramount and life-changing to worship this way and to be a part of a group like this. And that this is not always the group that I was around, and it's very obvious which is going to be the better for anyone's faith. So, just like that, we must be steadfast in our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No surprise, we must be steadfast in our faith. It must be immovable. So back to the bridge. Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. I really like bridges. Back to this bridge. This foundation, it is completely immovable. It's 80 foot in the ground. Once it's installed, if there's any type of a problem above the surface or with the concrete that it was, whatever it is, the bridge gets moved or the bridge gets redesigned. There's no moving the foundation. There's no, once it's there, it's there. It's not cost effective, and it's not worth it to try to dig it up or break it loose, whatever it may be. Luckily, I've never experienced that, but with any of the bridges that I've been a part of. But if that is the case, the bridge gets moved. It's a complete redesign. Our faith needs to be the same way, completely immovable, completely steadfast. We find a great example of that of Job, and we won't read the entire text. But in Job chapter 1, Job essentially loses everything. He loses his livelihood, his livestock, his servants, his family. He loses it all. Verse 15, Job chapter 1, verse 15. When the Sabines raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword. Verse 16, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. Verse 17, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And verse 18, Job's children, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. In the span of just a few verses, Job loses everything. Everything he's had in this world, it's over. It's gone. And there's no getting it back. So what does Job do? In Job chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Why did Job react that way? How did he react that way? He literally just lost everything. The sun was scorching Job's convictions and his beliefs and his faith. But his deep-rooted foundational faith held him there and held him solid. He said all that was pretty well is just stuff. Even his, not saying he didn't miss his family, but all that was, it was just things. It was just worldly things. It did not shake or rattle his faith in his belief in God. Our faith needs to be the same. Our faith needs to be like Job's was. Our faith must be more than just what meets the eye. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So every day that you drive on or over one of these bridges, you don't even know it, but you are trusting in more than what you can see. You're trusting that that foundation is deep enough and is properly installed. You're trusting in more than meets the eye. In John chapter 20, verse 27 through 29, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Faith, a great definition for faith is believing in things that we cannot see. We won't get to see God in a physical form in this world. We can see signs, of course, that God is real, things he's created, all that thought, but we won't physically see God. But we have the faith. We must have the faith and believe that he is indeed there. We must have the faith and believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins. So it's my hope and my prayer that the depth of our convictions and the depth of our belief in our faith extend very deep and much more than meets the eye. And not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of those around us. Steve mentioned that a little bit this morning, but having a deeply rooted faith, of course, it will benefit us in the next life, but we don't need to be concerned about ourselves, but who else we can influence with that deep level of foundation, and who else we can convince to come to Christ with that deep level of conviction. So this evening, if you are possibly struggling with the shallow faith, or maybe the new has worn off a little bit, I encourage you to do something about that. I encourage you to seek out study with anyone here, with any of the leaders. We'd be happy to help you with that. If you haven't started your walk yet and you're ready to be baptized into Christ and you're ready to make that commitment, I encourage you to take care of that tonight. So if you will, please come forward and let your needs be known while we stand and sing.